What is up, everyone? It is Legion of Raw. No, I'm not Dr. Chris Featherstone. I can't even call myself a doctor. But you know him, former WCW world champion. Give him the double buys. Give him the double buys. Even the sweater. Are you popping it out there, Vince?
Yeah, look at him go, see, bro. Look at that, man. Come on.
Vince Russo with us right after Monday Night Raw. An eventful one in Ohio that sees a new women's champion crowned in WWE in a big battle royal. Some other big angles were cut, building to Backlash coming up in France. An interesting scenario for WWE to be doing a show in France. And we have some other big news that we'll have Vince touch on, including releases recently by WWE over the weekend and a big name that was signed to a new deal by WWE that's in the current fold. We'll touch on all that. If you want to get on screen and ask a question of a former WCW champion, one of the most influential men in the history of professional wrestling, buying it up again there. We'll get to that. The super chats, though, get first priorities. We'll get to that. Some people are not feeling tonight's Monday Night Raw. We have some people saying the show is horrible. Didn't like it. Yo, that doesn't work for me, brother. Vince Russo, your initial takes coming out of Monday
Night Raw. I got to tell you, Chris. I got to tell you, Kevin. I'm sorry, Chris. I got to tell you, man. I usually come on here very down, very depressed, because I watched a three-hour show and it absolutely sucked. Mm-hmm. Bro, they did a lot of good things on this show tonight.
I'm surprised. Usually that isn't your take. Usually you're a little down on it, yeah.
Bro, I would have done some things differently, and I'll tell you what. However, bro, I'm going to go back to SmackDown. You got to understand something, Kevin. I want you to understand something. Being a head writer for three different companies, okay? Bro, I never get down on the creative per se, because the creative is all subjective. Mm-hmm. So what I might like, somebody else may hate. What I frown upon, bro, and what I get down on is effort. When I feel there is a lack of effort being put in the show, that's where I go off, because, you know, I know what it takes. I did it, bro. A lot of these shows, bro, you know, they just sleepwalk through. And, you know, I've told Chris, bro, at this point, the WWE, they're just content creators. They don't care what they churn out. They don't care. As long as they're turning out content and they're fulfilling all their contractual obligations, they don't care. But I'm going to go back to SmackDown, where I really liked what they did with Solo Sikoa. I liked him taking over. I like them wearing the suits. I like them setting up that car crash. Now, bro, if it were me, though, it would have made a little bit more sense to me, Kevin, if Solo Sikoa immediately would have went after Cody Rhodes. That would have made all the sense in the world to me. But the fact, bro, that they knew for months Cody was going to finish his story and be the champion, and, bro, they didn't even have a strong heel ready for him. They had to have these two makeshift, you know, triple threats. And that was horrible. They really could have made Sikoa if he would have immediately went after Cody Rhodes. But I do like what they're doing with him, the overhaul, the dress, him being in charge. I thought they did a really good job. So it really started out, you know, with a positive note from SmackDown going into tonight.
For sure. Let's get into the conversation here, though. We'll get into Raw, but an interesting situation. You bring it, Cody. He's going to be taking on AJ Styles, which on paper is an exciting match, but this isn't the AJ Styles of even a few years ago. It's certainly a great player, Hall of Famer. Do you think there's a way they can heat up AJ before they get to that match?
This is why, Kevin, they had to have a hot heel ready, because the fact of the matter is, bro, Cody, for a year, we're waiting for him to finish his story. He finally finishes his story at WrestleMania. Bro, is he really going to lose to AJ Styles in his first title defense? I mean, come on, bro. Like that's the part about it that I hate. Because what they're doing, Kevin, is they're, you know, again, bro, they're appeasing the marks because, oh my God, Cody and AJ could have a great match. I don't care about freaking great matches, bro. I care about, like, I'm not going to waste my time watching this because no matter how great the fake fight is, the outcome is 1,000,000,000% predictable, bro. Where if they would have been building a heel, and that heel is immediately on Cody's heels, now you got something. But come on, bro. AJ Styles is going to beat Cody Rhodes. I just hate predictability, man.
Absolutely. Let's get to the Super Chats. Once again, if you want to support the show with a Super Chat, we'll get to you guys up front of line here. And of course, you can, you know, get in the conversation here with Russo himself right away. Retro Neon with one here. Thank you so much. He goes, from WWE to be good again, they need to fail and fail. I'm sick and tired of seeing the same people day in and day out getting pushed to the moon while others don't get to at least try and get over. Now, this comes after some releases. We'll touch on some of those releases and then some new deals that were signed here. But what do you think of that comment here? It's just the challenge, I think, sometimes when you have a roster of talent that you've managed before. Not every fan is going to be happy with
everything. Yeah, but I got to tell you, Kevin, because I said it about Sheamus last week, and I'm going to say, because you just told me Finn Balor just re-signed.
Yeah, we'll touch on that here in a minute.
Yeah, and then we know Jinder and his boys were let go.
Yes.
Bro, it's like professional sports. It's like entertainment. You know, bro, like athletes have a shelf life. And after their shelf life, bro, they retire. And then they become commentators or they get a bench job, you know, managing a team. Bro, Sheamus's time is over. It's over, bro. Bro, as far as I'm concerned, Finn Balor brings nothing to the table. Absolutely nothing, bro. But they keep putting these guys on TV year after year after year. And the Sheamuses and the Finn Balors, they never drew a dime. Yeah, bro, they're good little hands, as Dutch Mantel would say. They're good little work. Bro, there's a billion good little workers out there. These guys never drew a dime, man. And my God, bro, the WWE, and I know Sheamus is Hunter's boy and Finn is somebody else's boy. Bro, because of that, they keep guys for way, 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 way too long, man. And, you know, because again, like I said, bro, it's who's the favored? And Jinder was great, never got his run. Him and his guys never got their run. But I'm so sick and tired of seeing the Sheamuses and the Finn Balors, bro. These guys never, ever got over, man.
We'll touch on some more Super Chats. Once again, those go to the front of the line. We have a couple more we'll get to, though. And we'll, of course, review Monday Night Raw here. But want to get into this. Big releases over the weekend. You mentioned Jinder Mahal there, along with the tag team of Indusure, Xia Li, Von Wagner was a name that was confirmed to be released today. Of course, now WWE doesn't publicly release any talents anymore, but these kind of become available through social media and stuff like that. Jinder Mahal saying he quit the company, but it's been reported that he was released. They'll both be under, all of them will be under 90-day release clauses. Then we have the news today that Finn Balor signed a new deal. He kind of got cheeky about it, saying, you know, he's doing the, I'll thank them for 10 years, all these different things, and I'd just like to say at this time, I'm going absolutely nowhere. Obviously, he's a name that AEW would want if he hit the market. He had a lot of history with New Japan, which is very much in bed now with AEW. What do you think of the shuffle up here? Because we have a bunch of big names in WWE whose deals are coming up relatively soon. And when you are on your side of the table with the pen in an executive role and you knew someone's deal was coming up in WWE, WCW, would that affect the way you would book them? We have Becky Lynch win the title tonight, and she's reportedly, her deal is up at some point in 2024.
Bro, you know, it's funny, bro. Never, never. I swear to God, you know, Kevin, when I was booking for the WWE writing, whatever you want to call it, bro, there is only, there was only one thing that had any, you know, impact on the show whatsoever, Kevin, and that were the ratings. If you drew, you were on TV. If you didn't draw, you weren't. It's that simple. And never, bro, was it, you know, somebody's contract is up, so we're not going to put them. It was never any of that stuff. All that stuff, bro, is all wrestling BS, Kevin. And I wasn't a wrestling BS guy. I was a television writer.
Okay.
If I studied the ratings more than anybody. If you were drawing, you were on the show. If you weren't, you were not.
Was that a relief to you, though, that you didn't have to kind of worry about the contract?
Oh, absolutely, bro. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, bro, there were times now, I'll tell you honestly, like if Vince was having like contractual problems with somebody and he felt he wasn't going to re-sign them, he would say to me like, Vince, we got to figure out a way to phase out so-and-so. I mean, he would tell me, and I didn't ask any questions because at that point it's business. It's dollars and cents. So if Vince says, you know, Vince, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to come to a contract with so-and-so. We need to, you know, start phasing them out. Then we phase them out. That's usually how it happened.
Yeah. But then you'd have guys who had deals, the infamous story with Hogan, Bash at the Beach, like things that are in their contracts that you have to deal with and stuff like that too. Now it's to be said, is there things in these deals that could affect how those people are booked? You know, that's well, another fact.
I'll tell you, yeah, bro, because let's look at Becky Lynch, for instance.
Sure.
Maybe they felt she wasn't going to sign and they wanted her to sign. And if this is a way of them showing her, look, you know, all the confidence they have in her, them putting that, that's almost what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Where, because I was under the impression, bro, that bro, her character was kind of getting a little old and tired. And I was getting under the impression that she was going to be taking some time off, which I think she needed. I mean, she works her butt off, bro. I'm not never, ever take that away from her.
Did a book tour, too. You know, just had exactly. That book. That's a lot of work in itself.
That's why I thought, bro, because I know, bro, listen, especially for women wrestlers, bro, being away from their kids is tough. You know, the mother's bond with a child is not the same as it's tough. So that's why I really thought she was going to get time off. But now, bro, I'm thinking maybe they didn't think she was going to renew her contract. And this was their way of trying to get her to do so. Stuff like that, Kevin, is done all the time.
We'll talk about some of the big things for the angles. We'll start with the main event and then kind of dig through the whole show Monday Night Raw. Big one coming up here from Columbus. Looks like they drew a pretty big house. That's always good. But once again, super chats to the front of the line. You get to talk with Vince Russo, an impressionable mind in the world of professional wrestling. David Duffett saying $2 super chat here. Don't let Tony Khan, I assume you're talking about Tony Khan, book the Isles anymore. I guess he's talking about England and all those different things. Of course, they have a big event coming up there once again, All In, following up the big stadium event they did last weekend. I know you aren't following the AEW too much, but they did have some success in St. Louis. They had a good sold out house, an eventful card, a new world champion and Swerve Strickland. Any temperament, Vince, on what's going on with AEW recently?
You know, I got to tell you, you know, Kevin, like I'm a huge baseball mark. I'm a huge fantasy baseball.
I'm an unfortunate player. Chicago White Sox fan.
Oh my God, Kevin! Please, jump ship, bro.
I won't go to the Cubs. Should I go to the Brewers or the Cardinals?
Go to the Brewers. Are going to have a better year than the Cardinals.
Yes, they probably will. Yeah.
But I look at it this way, bro. Listen, Kevin. If I am a billionaire, okay, I win Lotto tomorrow, and I have billions of dollars. Number one on my list would be to buy a baseball team.
Okay.
But Kevin, I would want that baseball team to win. So like I wouldn't manage the team. I would find the best manager I could. I would find the best coaching staff that I could. I would get the best players that I could. I would do everything in my power to make sure that is a winning team. Tony Khan had $1 billion, bro, and he bought a wrestling company because that was his dream. Tony Khan is a horrible, horrible, horrible booker, bro. He is booking to a fan base that he already has. He is never, ever going to grow that audience. But I got to tell you something, Kevin. I don't think he cares about that. He's a billionaire, bro. I don't think it matters to him whether he grows that audience or not. He's living out a fantasy and he's loving doing it. But the problem as a fan is, bro, it's for a very, very, very niche audience and a very, you know, large percentage of wrestling fans don't like that style of wrestling.
if you had the pen, you've been asked this before, you got that roster. There's a lot of talent on the roster. You know, there's a lot of talented people you could do some things with. What's the first thing you would do with AEW?
Just start from scratch, man. Almost like we did when me and Eric did when we took over WCW. Just start from scratch with like a brand new playing field. Kevin, I always say this, and you saw a lot of this on Raw tonight, which is good. Mm-hmm. Bro, the backdrop of professional wrestling that you see on television, it should be the business of the business. That should be the backdrop. In other words, bro, why do people want to be the champion? Bro, they should want to be the champion because being the champion means more money. Yeah. That's why they should want not to prove I'm the best. Bro, everybody knows it's fake. You know, nobody's winning matches. Everybody knows that. But you want that spot because that spot means more money. That spot means you have a little bit more stroke. You have a little bit more say-so. But you never see it presented in that manner. And that's what the backdrop of any good wrestling company should be, the actual business that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, business good for WWE. You know, the $5 billion deal with Netflix is coming up. Before we get off, I want to get your take on that because I could see some changes with the way Money at Raw is covered. But let's get into it. Let's start with the main event because we're fresh off that. We have a new Women's World Champion Becky Lynch wins the title. Now, last week, Rhea Ripley had to vacate the title, unfortunately, due to an injury. So you got to, you know, roll with the punches. And WWE decided to showcase the women's division on Monday Night Raw in a big battle royale, winner-take-all championship match. Some people shined in this. Some other people played supporting roles. We saw Katana Chance and Kaden Carter as tag teams get eliminated. Ivy Nile got whipped into the ring post. That looked really nasty. Nia Jax really shined in this match, and she was down in the final three with Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. Then it came down to Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch able to out-survive Liv Morgan, who was on a revenge tour. Some people thought that she may have been the person to shine the most in this, but they went with Becky Lynch. Very triumphant moment to end Monday Night Raw. What do you think going with Becky Lynch now off of the Rhea Ripley injury
as the new women's champion? Yeah, let's look at the politics of this because I think there were a lot of politics involved in this. Sure, First of all, bro, I do want to say Zoe Stark has to stop openly talking to her opponents when the camera is on her, bro. Mm. I saw her at least three times talking to please, bro. Like, seriously, the business is exposed enough. We don't need to see you communicating with the people in the ring. Mm. I think a lot of this, Kevin, was politics. And that's why I thought Nia Jax was the obvious choice to go over because I thought Becky was going to spend some time at home. And bro, I got to tell you, I don't think they were going to put the belt on Liv because she hurt Rhea Ripley. There's a little punishment involved there, bro. She put Rhea Ripley out in a backstage fight that should have never happened. And I guarantee you, bro, there was people up top that were not happy about that. So I thought for those reasons that Nia Jax was going to go over. But like I said, bro, looking at Becky now, they may have used that in an effort to get her to sign that contract.
It's not a bad move. I mean, it's a big star.
I'm fine with that. That's business, bro. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Some other big angles on Monday Night Raw that we'll touch on here throughout the show. They opened up with Jey Uso, that reaction he gets with that theme song and the way the fans move. I was in Philadelphia covering WrestleMania. He's quietly getting some very strong babyface reactions, and they're trying to set up some interesting things with him and maybe Damian Priest, as he seemingly is the guy to chase him into Backlash here. And Damian Priest feels the pressure now as the new World Heavyweight Champion and feels the pressure of this Judgment Day group that's very somewhat dysfunctional as a faction here. What do you think of JD McDonagh apologizing and all the interactions between him and the group?
I got to tell you, Kevin, like I'm all for telling stories over a period of time. Okay. And bro, let's face it. We're going to get to the point where Damian Priest is going to he's going to be on the outs with Judgment Day, because that group pulls him down, especially without Rhea Ripley. He's hanging around with three freaking jabronis, and the guy is the champion and he's a superstar. So what I would have done here, bro, is when McDonough, you know, does that F up at the beginning of the show, bro, Damian Priest should have laid him out right then and there. He should have, bro, McDonough, JD McDonough, in our lot, Kevin, how old are you?
I'm 40 years old.
40? Kevin, you don't mind me asking that, are you?
Sure. No, no problem at all.
Kevin, I hope you live to 100.
Thank you.
But I'm going to tell you this. If you live to 100.
I hope I feel like I'm 40 when I'm 100.
Okay. If you live to 100.
Yeah.
Those 60 years between now and then. Okay. JD McDonough is never going to get over. Ever. Ever, bro, I am a good judge of character. I can look at somebody, know when they're going to get over, when they're not. JD McDonough is never going to get over. He's a good little hand. His work impressed somebody at NXT, probably Sean. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even belong on the show. I missed opportunity here, and I know they want to tell a long story over time. But when he caused Damian Priest to get super kicked, Damian Priest should have laid him out right then and there, and that should have been the end of it.
Mm-hmm. World Tag Team titles defended by the Awesome Truth of Miz and R-Truth, who's still very, very over, against Team DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, and Gargano. Of course, clean victory here for the Tag Team Champions. Didn't think they were going to take the belts off them anytime soon. WWE definitely putting some effort here into the Tag Team titles. They've rechristened the Tag Team titles for Monday Night Raw as the World Tag Team Champions. The WWE Tag Team Champion belts were revealed in this past Monday's SmackDown, rather, for that side of action. What do you think of WWE making a stronger effort here with the Tag Team titles?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, bro. What I don't like is, man, they have a tendency to repeat themselves, like on their own show, like literally sometimes on the same show, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks after, because, you know, at the end, you know, Gargano gives the handshake and the hug, and then Ciampa won't shake the hand.
Yeah.
That reminded me. So they just did that with Indy Harwell and LaRue. They just same. I hate. Come on, guys. Don't keep repeating the same stuff. And as soon as I saw that, like, I'm like, bro, you just did this angle with Indy Harwell and whatever, Frances LaRue, whatever her name is.
Candice LeRae.
And I just hate when they just repeat stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have Imperium. Gunther's out in the ring. This is the first time we've seen Gunther since he lost at WrestleMania. One of my favorite matches from WrestleMania, I felt, by the way, in terms of just telling a story bell to bell. I really enjoyed that. Sami Zayn is the new heroic Intercontinental Champion. Maybe people thought maybe Gunther would try and get that title back, but no, he announces his intention, at least the first big name to announce his intention to win the King of the Ring tournament, which will be coming up on a premium live event in Saudi Arabia. His underlings, Imperium, yes, Ludwig Kaiser and Vinci are in action against the New Day. They were unsuccessful, and they lose at the hands of the New Day. Outside, Gunther seems pretty, pretty upset, tossing a chair at the barricade. How long can you keep Imperium going? They've done the hot and cold. He's with them. He's without them. He's happy with his stooges type thing.
I thought, Kaiser took out Vinci. Vinci?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And bro, I was about to touch on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to ask you this, Kevin, because I'm a little bit confused, because this was another spot, bro, where I thought Gunther was going to turn around and take out both of Imperium. Because I'm very confused a little bit, because I guess that's an oxymoron. I'm very confused a little bit. I'm very confused, Kevin, because I'm watching this promo and the people were with Gunther, and he was almost coming across as a babyface. I like the things that he said in the promo. You know, I am now the hunter and not the hunter. I like everything he said, and he was getting a baby face response, and that's why I thought he was going to turn around and lay the both of them out. But again, bro, I think this is something that they are prolonging, because I think now you got Vinci out, and I think what's going to happen is you're going to have an issue between Gunther and Kaiser. But again, my question is, I don't know who the babyface and the heel is because they're with Gunther.
Because he's just over. He's the star. You know, he's the one they care about.
That's why I thought he should have laid both of them out, because then he would have been the babyface having the two of them come after him, because now it's kind of handicapped. You know what I mean? But to destroy one, to have Kaiser turn on Vinci, just a little confusing for me. I'm not sure where they're going with that.
An interesting thing here, got this question coming in from the back end. The layers sometimes they do with WWE. They've been, I think some of these are good and some of them aren't. And they kind of like tease something a little bit with a little interaction. And if they feel people talk about it, they'll go with it, which I guess is something you can do with modern social media. And I saw a lot of people talking online about this tonight on Raw and just people's instant reactions. Is Rhea Ripley's away healing up, but her main squeeze on television is Dirty Dominic of the Judgment Day, who's injured himself, but he's on TV for some reason. All right. He couldn't compete in action. He had a last minute replacement by Santos Escobar. But people noticed a little flirtation between him and Liv Morgan, the woman who laid out Rhea Ripley. What do you think? Is that a way to keep the storyline going?
Well, I didn't even notice that. You know, Kevin, I swear, I don't know what happened. I really don't know why rules changed. Mm-hmm. Bro, back during the Attitude Era, if somebody got hurt, they were still on the show. They just didn't wrestle.
See, CM Punk's all over television. He's all over TV.
Bro, we did that all the time. Like if Austin would get hurt or The Rock, I would say, okay, they're going to be on the show. We're going to write them on the show. They're just not going to wrestle, and they can't wrestle for it. But Rhea Ripley is a huge star. Why can't they write for her on the show without having to have her wrestle? I don't understand this.
Do you think there's a good chance they get her back? Like she's back on the show before she's actually wrestling?
I don't know, but why isn't she on the show now, bro? I mean, she's got her arm in a sling. She can't get on an airplane. I don't get it, Kevin.
Dom had his arm in a sling and he could be on TV tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I never had a problem when people got hurt because I knew that they were still going to be written into the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting segment here. Drew McIntyre once again poking the bear with CM Punk, bringing up his name. Of course, CM Punk is advertised for this upcoming week's SmackDown.
Another case of people that have overrun their stay and mean nothing. Freaking New Day is done. Enough.
Yes,
I don't understand what the problem, bro. Can you imagine baseball players playing into their 45s and their 50s, bro? It's over. It's over with these people, bro. They're old. They're stale. Move on, bro. Make them agents. Give them some other job in the office. It's over. Nobody wants to see them on TV anymore, bro. Go ahead.
No, but this plays into a super chat we had stacked up here. I'm going to get to all your super chats, by the way. Once again, those go to the front of the line. We get you on screen here with Vince. This one here coming in from Junior N. He goes, Russo is right. Finn, Sammy, Rollins, Styles, Punk, Orton, Sheamus, Lashley, Drew, Lesnar, Gargano, New Day, Usos are now all 20-plus pro vets. Some of those make some exceptions because you had some people that started in their teen years. Yeah. And then you had some guys that weren't as active. I would actually, even though Punk's had the injuries, he's not a guy you're going to see in the ring all the time. Lesnar, you're not going to see in the ring all the time. But you have a lot of guys, all talents over the age of 35 there.
I'm telling you, bro. I just like these are their channel changes, bro. And listen, this isn't a shot on any of these people. Mm-hmm. They've been on the show. What are you possibly going to do with Sheamus? Okay, bro. So he's going to get in a feud now with Drew to give Drew something to do. Oh, okay. Like, is he going to draw anybody a dime? Is anybody going to tune in to see Sheamus? And, bro, this is one of the things that I liked, the Drew shoot promo. Because, bro, listen, man, do you know what Sheamus's injury was, Kevin?
He had several different nagging things. He's had some stenosis issues with his spine that he's been able to work around.
Right?
Yeah.
But, here's the thing, bro. You can't come back looking like that. And if you're looking like that, bro, because you physically cannot get back into the shape you need to get in because of health issues, then you probably should not be out there. But I love that they did this, bro, because when he came out looking like he did last week, everybody was talking about the kind of shape that he came back in. So I thought this was really, really good for, you know, Drew to call him out on it. I thought this was really good.
Yes, the line was, McIntyre says, before Sheamus left, it was banger, banger, banger. Right. Now it's burger, 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 burger. Yeah. Sheamus laughs it off, says he can lose weight, but McIntyre can't lose stupid.
Yeah.
Some simple, well-delivered lines here. Yeah. I'll say McIntyre in this whole heelish spin has been cutting some of the more interesting promos.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Drew McIntyre, and I thought this was very, very well done.
Shinsuke Nakamura and Sheamus got to have a match here. Once again, it was blow for blow. Sheamus able to win and pull out this win here. Shinsuke Nakamura, this guy used to feel like a big star a couple of years ago. Now, I mean, they give him an entrance, but he just does not feel like the Tokyo Dome headlining world beater he once was when he came to
you. WWE. Because Kevin, you got to find a way to protect everybody.
And it's,
you
know, so hard to do that though, right?
Well,
it's
I'll tell you what makes it not hard. Mm-hmm. When there are stories involved, When there are stories involved, bro, you can protect people. When you're just having straight wrestling matches, bro, and it's 50-50 booking, you can't protect anybody, Kevin. You need stories to protect talent, bro.
Mm-hmm. In-ring segment, Chad Gable and the now heelish villainous Alpha Squadron around him, Chad Gable with Otis, Maxine Dupri, and Tozawa. Of course, he demands that he's not going to spend time training losers. The Alpha Academy is behind him, and their focus will be on getting him his Intercontinental title. Of course, last week he turned on the heroic champion, Sami Zayn. Kind of saw this one coming a mile away, right? That he would go this direction, but this is more just kind of cementing the group. You like it?
I liked it. I thought this was good. You know, I mean, bro, you know, again, I'm not a fan of the shush and the over the top silly. And bro, I'll tell you what I really like about this. First of all, I did like it. Thumbs up for me. But what I really like about it, bro, if this means for the first time we get a serious Otis, I really look forward to that. You know,
yeah, because he's played the one note silly big man for a long time, right?
Day one, he's played the Chris Farley.
Not the worst role to be in.
No, not at all. And he's very good at it. But I would like for one time to see a very pissed off Otis. And this is where we may see that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also in tag team action, this was teased earlier in the night, Ricochet and Andrade, an interesting tandem, taking on JD McDonagh and Santos Escobar, because Dominic can't be out of there. Of course, earlier in the night, Damian Priest demanding that they take care of their business after McDonagh kind of put him in an awkward position earlier with the man who's challenging for the title coming up at Backlash, Jey Uso. Strong match overall, a lot of in-ring kind of lucha-based action. You have two guys, all four guys really can move well off their feet and in the air. Of course, Ricochet and Andrade pick up the win. McDonagh and Santos Escobar, the kind of replacement, unable to finish their business. After the match, Damian Priest hops the barricade and lays out Ricochet and Andrade, and he gets in Dominic's face and tells him he doesn't need any of them. What do you think of that angle? Because it kind of played up stuff you wanted to see happen earlier. He didn't lay out anybody, though.
He got some heat on the baby faces, but I would have loved to see him. If he didn't lay out McDonagh in segment one, He should have definitely laid him out here. You know, somehow, you know, Santos gets out of Dodge. But, bro, I know they're doing it, and I know they're working toward it. You know what it is? You know, Kevin, when you're booking a match, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you know, wrestling, you give somebody the rub. Okay. Yep. So we're gonna book Brutus Beefcake against Hogan because we're gonna give Beefcake the Hogan rub. But bro, you gotta be very, very, very careful, because that could backfire on you and the opponent could actually bring the star down. The Judgment Day brings down Damian Priest, bro. He's not bringing them up. They're bringing him down. And I know he's going to separate himself from the group, but I don't think they should drag that out for the next 2 or 3 months.
Going to bring in Dr. Chris Featherstone, who's joining us live from Ohio. Dr. Chris, how are you? Let me get you back up here. Dr. Chris has popped out. Let's see if we can get back in here. Gotta love it. Dr. Chris, can you hear us? Oh, he popped in and out. He's going in and out. We'll try and get him in here. Gotta love live broadcasting. We're live, pal. We're live. But if he joins us again, I'll get him back in here. I don't know what the issue is here and see if he can rejoin us.
Probably, probably just his connection.
Oh, yeah. Well, you gotta love it. You're getting out of an arena. There's like 15,000 people there. That's always, it's always enjoyable. Of course, once again, if you're with us here on WrestleBinge, check out everything else we have going on this YouTube channel. You can hear me and see me on a bunch of different stuff we do on our other main Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel. Go check that out. We do some deep dives and do a bunch of different things and different topics. I also do the Rings and Ramble show. That's every Monday afternoon. And if you guys like this show, just the video of it, we have the audio of it with Vince Russo, Bill Apter, Teddy Long, all on one audio feed. You don't have to subscribe to multiple ones. Just go search Sports Keto Wrestling wherever you get your audio podcasts. We're up there as well. Of course, Vince, you're busy with the brand as well. What's active with the brand this week?
Yeah, guys, let me throw out a free offer for you, man. If you've never been a member of our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/RussoTWC right now, bro, and get a free week, right, Chris? Get a free week of Russo's brand. Go to patreon.com/RussoTWC.
Dr. Chris, can you hear? Oh, Bob, we lost him again.
This is a rip, bro. I bet you he's doing it. I bet you Dr. Chris is doing it on purpose.
I saw him there for a minute, but I'll try my best if he hops here and here again. But thank you guys so much for support. I know a lot of people join us every night. I heard some people ask me, like, who's this guy? What's this guy? So you can see me, all those different things here. A couple of people join us. We'll get some more super chats we can touch on here before we wrap up everything that's going on with Money at Raw and other hot topics of the week. Earlier, we talked about Tony K booking the island. You know, he's talking about the New York Islanders and their recent collapse. I didn't know we were going to touch on some NHL tonight. Of course, the playoffs are getting interesting. We might have ourselves an all-Canadian Stanley Cup if this thing plays out in some one way or another.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting. Who do you got in the playoffs? You got anyone big in the playoffs?
NHL? Yeah, I'm not. I used to be a lot more into hockey. I'm not into hockey too much anymore.
Where they lose you, Vince?
I don't know, bro. I was a huge Minnesota North Star fan, and I followed them to Dallas. But a couple of years into Dallas, they kind of lost me.
Kind of lost you here. Yeah. Other people with different takes, want to make sure I get all of them on here. This one here, an element, maybe something from your days in TNA when you were involved in there. Should WWE do a Feast or Fired match for the talent? You're doing a lot of different talent shakeup stuff coming up here next week with the WWE draft. And I'll kind of follow this up here. But what do you think of just bringing in a Feast or Famine? Now, how did the Feast or the Fired work exactly? Were you involved with that creatively at all when you were there?
Yeah, I was there and we came up with that. There were four cases. One was for a championship match, one was a pink slip, one was tag match, and then whatever the other title, the light heavyweight champion, I think was in the other case. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think the WWE is going to do a match the same exact way that TNA would do one. I mean,
they would try and make it their, if they were going to do something like that, they would try and make it their own in some way. Let's talk about the drafts coming up here. WWE going to shake some things up. The one thing you always talk about the business, and this is something I was touching on in Rings and Rambles today, was you got your TV contract set up for all three weekly television shows. And all three weekly TV shows are involved in this draft. And the draft is really, I think it gets really, really complicated, I think, at some point. It's where you move these talents based on your priority with your television arrangements. So Money at Raw in 2025, which isn't that far away when you really think about it, is going to move to Netflix every Monday night, $5 billion deal, one of the biggest deals they've had for media rights. SmackDown will move from Fox Television Network over to USA Network, where they've had a long-standing relationship, and NXT will go to broadcast television on the CW from the USA Network. So a lot going on there. What do you think the biggest moves we might see with the draft, and are they going to be meaningful in general? Because they tend to have people bounce from show to show anyway.
You know, I swear, Kevin, I almost went back to the WWE in 2002.
Yeah.
And I remember the first meeting I had with Vince, I told Vince the brand splits were horrible. Let me explain to everybody why. Bro, when the Attitude Era was on fire, okay, the WWE was in such demand, bro, that they were running two house shows on the same days. That is why they came up with the brand split. There was a Raw crew on the road and a SmackDown crew on the road. But, bro, it hasn't been that way house show-wise for years, bro, where they're running two shows on the same day. And I don't think they're going back to that any day soon because that's not where their bread is buttered, bro. So I don't understand the draft anymore. You know, Kevin, as a writer, I don't know why you wouldn't give me all the talent to my availability. Now, yes, bro, they have too much talent, but we just talked about the fat that could be cut in 5 minutes, bro. Mm-hmm. There's so many people they could cut off the roster and they would never miss a beat. So, like, I'm not a big fan of that to begin with.
All right, well, quickly while we have you connected here, Dr. Chris, and we got that connection while you're mobile on the ground there in Ohio. You were live tonight at Monday Night Raw. Dr. Chris, while we have you here with Vince Russo, what do you think of this week's Monday Night Raw? Can you hear me?
It was, in a live crowd is different because it's, you know, the feel is different, you know, than watching on TV. It's a lot different feel. But I will say that there were a couple spots that worked that were cool. It's really a lot for the most part. There was a lot of things that were just chill still. You know, they were just not really, really good. Chelsea Green got over during the Battle Royal. People were chanting Chelsea. Like she got over pretty cool. Let's go Burgers chants from the live crowd during Sheamus's match with Shinsuke Nakamura. So Drew McIntyre started a thing there. Other than that, when Nia Jax got eliminated by Becky and Liv, that got over pretty well. Other than that, you know, typical weekly show, even from a live crowd. Crowd was hot in Chicago, in Columbus, so that was cool. But other than that, nothing big.
Mm-hmm. Anything that happened off camera that else that maybe fans you think should pay attention to that could play its way out on television? Sometimes they try something off camera that we don't see that maybe we get to see on television in the future.
Yeah, so oftentimes there's a lot of like post-match stuff to just, I mean, you know this, Kevin, just to tease stuff and just kind of see where the crowd is.
If the live crowd reacts, they try something on the live crowd and then they try it later on.
So they, no teasers. So it was like Becky Lynch's music playing for like 10 minutes straight, mm-hmm. and that was it. So nothing there. There were people saying, Cody's probably going to show up and stuff like that. I was like, no, Cody's not going to show up. So there were a lot of pipe dreams.
This is the first Monday Night Raw without Cody in a long, long time. Long, long time.
Yeah, so, yeah. So we're gonna see how that transitions over to, you know, having him be, you know, exclusive to SmackDown at least during the time of the draft. You know, before the draft. So
highly diverse crowd tonight. What was the makeup of the crowd tonight? They had a pretty full house tonight at the show in terms of.
It was huge. You know, big show tonight. The people got over who usually does outside of Gunther though. Gunther got some cheers live. Mm-hmm. So it seems as if people are trying to kind of nudge Gunther to go over to the babyface side, other than outside of, you know, but they messed that up with Kaiser turning on Vinci and Gunther being the guy behind that. So that kind of backfired. That kind of was in and out. He ended up getting booed when he did that. So it didn't last long.
There we go. Of course, Ohio, the Ohio Valley, going to be busy with some big wrestling events later this year. They'll be hosting SummerSlam in Cleveland a couple of hours down the road. The way they position, I want to ask you, because you're in Ohio, and maybe, Vince, you know this, when they put these big premium live events now, they're really trying to make them kind of like regional destination events, like a SummerSlam can be. Do you see a lot of people in that region making their way to Cleveland? And or was there a temperament of like, oh, wow, we're getting a SummerSlam? Like, like I see that. I know a lot of people that are in Indiana and Kentucky, and they're like, I'm going to go over to Ohio for SummerSlam. They're talking about that. It seems like it's an interesting position for a major show like that.
Yeah, yeah. Ohio's – Triple H has been a big pro-Ohio guy when it comes to live events. I remember when – we didn't get a pay-per-view for like 10 years.
Long time.
And then, yeah, and then at least 10 years. And then Triple H, when he started to do more NXT shows, we would have a show here every year right during the Arnold. It would be that we would have an NXT show. And then he started to pick up shows often. And now it's gotten to the point where we get a Raw or SmackDown probably two or three times a year. So a huge crowd here with Chicago. That's how it used to be. Vince, you know this, man. Back in the day, back in the day, it was one of those things where you used to go in the Midwest territory, up the Ohio Valley, catch a show in Dayton, catch a show in Columbus, Evansville, Indiana, with Dave Brown and friends plugging those continental shows from Memphis. Come on, Vince.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely, bro. Yeah. Evansville, man.
Evansville. The center of the wrestling world.
That's right, man.
Dr. Chris, if they don't know, where can they follow you? I know you're busy in the wrestling media world, buddy.
Oh, man, yeah. Here, of course, follow me at Chris Prolific. And, of course, it'll be – Vince and I, Kevin, thank you so much for tagging in this week.
Just keeping the seat warm, buddy.
Yeah, while I do some live coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I appreciate you weathering the internet storm there. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, man. I'm going to get home. Being a podcaster, man, this is horrible for me to be like my face. And this is all you get. Hey! Like all right, y'all. I'm gonna take off.
We'll let you go. There was somebody.
Take care, doctor. Do you know Kevin? Kevin, I swear, like, you know, we were talking about people getting punished, but people also get rewarded.
Yeah,
I think that's why they put the belt on Sami Zayn. You know, I swear to God, bro, if there was anybody they should have rewarded tonight, it should have been Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
It should have been Chelsea Green. And I've said this, Chelsea Green would be a huge, huge baby face. And she has done such a tremendous job with her character. I was watching this, man, and as they were thinning out the herd, I'm like, man, they may reward Chelsea tonight, but they didn't. But man, I thought that they might do that tonight.
Let's round out with some questions and comments. Super chats always go to the front of the line here. The Bloodline is going through some interesting changes. Solo Sikoa kind of taking a leadership role on that after Roman Reigns drops out after the big title loss at WrestleMania. Now, that's been going on over on the SmackDown side of things. Obviously, we have you on Raw, but they are the top faction in WWE, so fans always want to know what's going on with them. And if you're going to have anyone involved, they introduced Tama Tonga, who's in the Samoan Polynesian Bloodline, if you will. Reportedly, Jacob Fatu has been signed by WWE, and he's expected to have a role in this group, which would be, you know, two guys who are literally just plucked outside of the company and put into major storylines here. David Duffett saying, add a silent Haku to the Bloodline. Of course, Tama Tonga is his father. This is a second advisory role. Haku, you've had some interactions with him. Is he legitimately the most serious badass guy who's ever lived in pro wrestling?
Bro, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories in wrestling. Bro, you know, Vampiro is absolutely out of his mind, and I'll never forget.
I've heard some stories. Yeah.
Oh, but I love him to death. Love him to death because he is out of his mind. But I'll never forget, bro, with a straight face, Vampiro. I say Vampiro because that's what Ed Ferrara used to call him. But Vampiro swore he was walking down a street with Haku somewhere in Mexico. And Haku was taking out telephone pole after telephone pole with one strike.
What?
And Vampiro swears to that story, which I find highly unlikely, but 1,000% legit, bro. Haku would freaking
telephone poles.
Oh yeah, Vampiro. Yeah. Yes.
You don't believe it though. You don't believe.
We got a kick out of that story for many years.
Now, anytime you see a telephone pole, you're like, all right, watch out. Haku's gonna take out the whole phone system.
Yeah. I would love to see, bro. Like, I swear, I think it would have been so cool. And maybe not live, but maybe vignettes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see the old gang, you know, getting advice from,
Rikishi as another role.
I would have loved to see that. You know, just vignettes when they go back home and they have the meeting, and some of that stuff would have been so great to see, man. They could still do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it feels special every time they've kind of reflected on the past.
Yeah.
You know, and that's more of a Triple H thing. You don't ignore real history. You can use real history and real family relationships. And it's something that kind of Vince McMahon got away from, but Triple H just kind of ironed that out and made the bloodline feel more centered on that. Like, introducing Tama makes sense. People quickly understood it. Even though he's not a known guy to most casual WWE fans, they've immediately made him feel like a real player. He doesn't feel like he's a nobody. I want to get to this one here from Roland Curtis. Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura was walking to the ring to wrestle Sheamus. Michael Cole says, for the first time ever, it's McIntyre versus Sheamus live next. As Raw went to commercial, where do you rank Michael Cole? Of course, this is a little botched, simple, different thing like that. I don't think that's the worst mistake. I mean, I've heard worse ones on commentary. It happens. Guys are in the heat of the moment, and they're a live mic. They hit something like that. I don't think I've heard worse snafus on commentary myself.
Yeah, I just, bro, listen, Michael Cole was there when I was there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think JR was a big, 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 huge influence on Michael Cole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having been around them both and, you know, listened to them for many, many, many years, I sometimes I feel like Michael Cole tries to take from the JR playbook too much. And bro, that's never going to work in your favor, because there will only be one JR. But I feel like Michael Cole, you know, being that JR was a big influence, goes to that well one too many times. And I feel it every time he does it. That would be my only criticism of Michael Cole. But I got to tell you, bro, somebody that's lasted at that company for that long, I mean, I could have never done it.
He's been there how long?
Kevin, I
96
in 5 years, I was done. I mean, Vince McMahon burnt me to a crisp in 5 years, 25 years, bro. I don't know how he does it.
Your role when you were with WWE, how much interaction did you have with commentary in terms of just like crafting the storylines and stuff like that during live shows? Were you involved with?
Nobody had to tell JR and Jerry Lawler what to do. Not at all. Yeah.
And you're kind of relieved.
Are you kidding me, man? Of course. Yeah.
A lot going on with Vince Russo over on the brand as well. Check out the Patreon, all the different things they're doing. A lot of extra content as well. Of course, we're busy over here.
Are you naturally bald, or do you shave your head? And I'm asking you for a particular reason.
I'm not naturally bald. I'm chosen bald.
Okay. Because
I went with the way my genetics were going, and I embraced
it. Bro, you know what kind of vibe you have? That I'm a huge fan, and I'm feeling this vibe from you all night tonight. And I'm saying to myself, bro, if he had the hair, he'd be his twin brother. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know who I'm going to be.
Bro, Zach Galifianakis.
I'll take it. Yeah.
That's a huge compliment. You got such a Zach Galifianakis vibe. Bro, if you had the hair, you could literally be his twin brother.
I could be in Hangover Part 5 or something.
Yeah, bro, like nobody ever told you that you have this.
I had it when I still had the hair. I got.
Okay, yeah, you.
But, I have the cheeks too, with the beard and the cheeks.
But I'm talking about the delivery, the voice, the whole nine yards. Like you got that vibe going, which is.
I work in stand up comedy, so I'd rather be compared to a comedian who's famous than most people. So I'll
take okay, that. Yeah, no, that's a huge compliment coming from me. I think Zach Galifianakis is a genius, bro.
Purple Onion, one of the best stand-up specials.
Probably. Oh, tremendous. Tremendous.
Yeah. Great stuff. Hangover, come on, one of the best comedies the last 20 years or something like that. Of course, subscribe to everything we have going on with WrestleBinge. Tons of content. We're live here every Monday night after Monday Night Raw. Of course, we have Dutch Mantel, a fresh episode up as well with him covering Smack Talk, Rings and Rambles. We covered AEW Dynasty and all the different stuff. That's over on the Sports Keto channel as well. Just a ton of different stuff. So if you spend time with us, spend even more. We won't disappoint you. Thank you for everyone for these super chats. We don't want to leave anyone left out there. And you guys can always join us with those. We always appreciate that support as well. Everything going on with Sports Keto, we're so busy. So busy here last night. Did you follow anything going on with the AEW pay-per-view last night? I assume you didn't follow any of the results. They have a new champion in Swerve Strickland. You think that was the right choice to take the belt off Samoa Joe?
I got to tell you something. To be totally honest with you, man, you know, bro, you know, bro, we're in podcasting, so we need content.
Yes.
Okay, bro, Kevin, I watched AEW every show of Dynamite for the first 15 months. So a year and 3 months. And after a year and 3 months, bro, I just came to the conclusion, like, I can't waste my time watching this show anymore. Mm-hmm. I gave it a long run, bro. Like I said, 15 months, and it just felt like a massive waste of my time. So I never, ever watch AEW anymore.
Don't blame you. There's some other people that feel the same way. The people excited about those saying whose house, Swerve's house. People saying AEW is difficult to watch. But people were asking. They were asking for your take.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel them left out here.
Yeah, no, I wish I could tell you, bro. I've never, ever watched a AEW pay-per-view. Not one. I've never seen a single AEW pay-per-view.
I don't mind sneaking this in here. I was at the New Japan Pro Wrestling show. They've been doing more big arena events in the United States. Obviously, they're tied to most of what people will see from them in the United States is with AEW. They're going to do the Forbidden Door show. But I worked for them. I'll say that out there. I worked in a promotional role for them a day of at the recent Windy City Riot show. And they drew a good crowd, between like 6,000-8,000 people for a non-WWE show in a major market. That's pretty impressive. And they had a good show. They had John Moxley. You get to do stuff with them. He won the IWGP title. They're trying to do some bigger things here, but it does seem like a crowded marketplace for top tier televised wrestling. But maybe they're kind of coming in as a niche brand. What do you think of them possibly expanding in the United States in New Japan? Because it is a very specific type of pro wrestling. Yeah, it is.
But bro, listen, if they can make money, kudos to them. I mean, Kevin, the way the landscape is now, I don't know how you can watch all this wrestling. It's a lot to keep up with. It's a lot. But, man, if they could carve out a market and make money from a business perspective, I've got no issues with that whatsoever. I mean, but, you know, there is a lot of wrestling to watch on a weekly basis, man.
Before we sign off, and this is my final question. I wanted to ask you this because – WWE going to Netflix.
You don't want to say I look like George Clooney or anything? Do I give you a Clooney vibe? Well,
I got to give you a comparison? Yeah, you give me a Clooney vibe.
Clooney vibe?
Yes, Clooney's wearing the glasses more now, though, too. And you're wearing the glasses more, so I can see it. Yeah. You embrace the glasses at the right time, you think, when you embrace wearing glasses all the time?
Bro, I'm like Fred. If you remember the Sanford and Son, bro, I've got – trays of reading glasses, bro. Trays of them.
Trays of them.
Yeah, they're reading glasses.
Yes. My helpers. My mom and dad call them helpers. Yes. I wanted to ask.
Are you too young for a Sanford and Son?
No.
I'm coming to get you. Remember when you used to open the drawer and have 100 pairs of 100 broken glasses. Reading glasses, bro? Hold tremendous. Up. All right, go ahead. Netflix.
This is coming up in January. Big change for WWE and how they present things. Now, we don't have a clear idea of even if Monday Night Raw will stay on Mondays. I assume it'll stay there. But Nick Khan was kind of wishy-washy about where they would do that. So Monday Night Raw will move to Netflix, a different way for people to watch wrestling. They're going to have to subscribe. They're going to have to go through all these different hoops. But I want to know, do you think it allows WWE to do some things that they can't do with the weekly television show they couldn't do before in terms of like commercial breaks, different things like that? There may be some people that have commercial breaks when they watch it and some people that don't. Does it open up the possibilities of some different things? Because you don't have an FCC regulation or, you know, a traditional broadcast standard on you with Netflix.
I'll tell you, Kevin, that's what TNA was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what TNA was supposed to be. Here's what it really comes down to. If by the time they get there, you still have wrestling people running the company, I think you're just going to see what you see now.
Okay.
If they go to more of an entertainment feel endeavor, you know, The Rock, bring in more Logan Pauls. If they go to more of an entertainment feel, I think you're going to be seeing a lot of that stuff. So it kind of depends on what management looks like, I think, between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I have a feeling, bro, they're going to go more entertainment. I have a feeling they're going to bring in a lot more celebrities like, you know, the Bad Bunnies and the Logan Pauls. I think you're going to see that by the time they get to Netflix, like times 10.
Yeah. I mean, is it a bad formula if it works?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, bro, you talk about drawing a mass crowd. That's how you draw it, bro. And they've proven with guys like Logan Paul and Bad Bunny, bro, you can teach these guys to work.
Yeah.
I mean, Logan Paul is one of the top five performers on both shows.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there is that conflict of, all right, we have to have meat and potatoes pro wrestling at this top level blockbuster presentation that people come to expect, or that like that more distilled version of pro wrestling that Triple H has gone for and has given more of the more upset fans at. But you balance it out by having a right. Logan Paul. You balance it out right. by having a Bad Bunny. You balance it out by having levity and some ridiculous storylines and LA Knight, guys like that who are very much about talking first before in-ring action.
Right.
I think with a 3-hour show every week, you can give people both. You're able to give a little bit of everything to everyone.
Has it been confirmed that it's going to be 3 hours?
That's another thing I don't know. But I mean, I would assume if you're getting Netflix every week, they also aren't bound to a 3-hour thing. They want to go a little bit over 3 hours. What's going to stop them from doing it? You know, yeah. It's Netflix. It's not like, oh, we have commercials coming up in a little bit. No, it doesn't really matter. You know, yeah. And that was the benefit, I think, when WWE embraced streaming in general, is they're not bound by a broadcast partner in the traditional broadcast. You have to be done at this certain time.
And bro, that's part of the reason why they wanted to get into streaming as well, because bro, like every time they had to sell somebody,
mm-hmm.
it was 1,000,000,000% positive, you know, social media, merchandise, you know, however, when they got to the television ratings, that was the only negative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, bro, they were really, really looking to get away from television ratings. And that was part of the appeal for the streaming service.
But a television rating isn't worth what it was 10 or 15 years ago. It's a part of what you sell. It's the most obvious number. I work in broadcast media, I work in radio. But I mean, it's certainly indicative of how you sell something to an advertiser or a media partner. But it's not the only thing you sell.
Right. Right.
People say I look like Kevin Owens if he's bald.
God forbid.
I've been called worse things here. Vince, thank you so much for the time. Always an enjoy to catch up with you and get your insight and everything. Obviously, you're busy with the brand. They can follow you on all the different social medias. And of course, we'll have you back here with a whole bunch more content every Monday night, Writing with Russo, Wrestling Outlaws with EC3, so a whole bunch of different stuff. Thank you guys for checking out and joining us tonight. Any parting words for the people watching?
No, Kevin, it was great, man. A breath of fresh air, man. I really, really enjoyed doing the show with you, man. Thanks for stepping in, man. Very, very much appreciated, bro.
Happy to do it. Thank you guys for checking out the show. Hit a like if you enjoyed it and you're just joining us here live at the end. You can watch the whole thing and get it on the podcast as well. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.